This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline. 1-800-913-4653.
Pat and Stu, it's a Day Without Women Day.
Yeah, we've actually sent all the women on the show home because, and I say that as a male telling a woman what to do. But no women are allowed on the show today.
You know what they say, a day without women is like a day without nagging.
Wait, who says that?
They do. I don't know. I think it's wrong. I don't want them to say that, but they say that.
I don't like that.
And I don't like it. I've asked them to stop saying it, but they won't.
Jeffy, a day without women for you. What does that mean to you?
What does that mean? A day without women is a day without somebody in the kitchen cooking dinner. I don't know. What do you want? A day without women is...
Go ahead. Keep going. Because I want people to know when they say, why are you so mean to Jeffy? I want the evidence out there. We're mean to Jeffy because of moments like that, which are frequent.
For stating facts? Mm-hmm.
Yes, for stating facts, Jeffy. I guess the big place everyone's talking about is, I think it's Alexandria, Virginia.
Yes.
Where they, so many teachers called in sick or said they wanted the day off that they just closed the school. Which is great for working women who actually have to go to their job or maybe get fired, unlike teachers.
Yeah, it punishes them.
It punishes them.
That's great. That's great. Really a nice job. Good job there. And what are you going to accomplish? Like, we're going to say, oh my gosh, wow, that day was so awful. I don't ever want it to happen, so... What are your demands? So
we should fund Planned Parenthood. So there'll be
right.
Less.
What, we're going to impeach Donald Trump because you don't like him. I don't know. What happens?
These days are so stupid.
Stupid.
It's just a way of, you know what it is? It's a way of a bunch of organizations that want your money for women's rights to get your email address.
Mm-hmm.
I signed up for the day. Oh, did you? Now they're going to be spamming you for donations for the next, 6 years. Good luck with that. It's probably, you know what? It's probably a man who thought it up.
It probably is. Mm-hmm. It probably is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Also, we have, one of the objectives maybe is equal pay for work. I don't know.
When is that going to happen? That has
right?
to happen.
Do you
has
know
to
they
happen.
Make, they make 3 cents on the dollar. For every dollar a man makes, women make 3 cents.
Embarrassing. I can't even say it.
Yeah.
I mean, that has to be fixed.
Well, they've tackled this problem at Prager University. Here's a look.
The 77 cents on the dollar statistic is calculated by dividing the median earnings of all women working full-time by the median earnings of all men working full-time.
So dumb.
In other words, if the average income of all men is, say, $40,000 a year, and the average annual income of all women is, say, $30,800, that would mean that women earn 77 cents for every dollar a man earns. 30,800 divided by 40,000 equals 0.77. But these calculations don't reveal a gender wage injustice.
Oh, boy.
Because they don't take into account occupation, position, education, or hours worked per week. Even a study by the American Association of University Women, a feminist organization, shows that the actual wage gap shrinks to only 6.6 cents when you factor in different choices men and women make. And the key word here is choice. The small wage gap that does exist has nothing to do with paying women less, let alone with sexism. It has to do with differences in individual career choices that men and women make.
How about that?
You know, this has obviously been one of my favorite stats for a long time. And we talked about it on the show. Every time we get close to the stat, we're like, all right, let's just hear it again.
I know.
The women get, because I think it's fascinating because it's one of those things that's so ingrained in our society that women are treated terribly and they have this wage gap that people don't even question it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just assumed as accurate. And even with all of this information, and this is not from right-wing organizations, Prager University obviously is a conservative organization, but like mainstream economists, they look through this. As she pointed out, a feminist organization did a study on it and found almost no wage gap whatsoever. And remember, there's a higher standard of proof on their claims, which is it's not that there just is a wage gap. It's a wage gap that is fueled by sexism.
Uh-huh.
They're actually saying the intent of the wage gap, if it were to exist, would be sexism. And the ultimate argument on this, which was made by a guy who wrote a book called Why Men Earn More, he was a feminist and he was the head of the National Organization of Women chapter of New York City. And he thought, you know what? I mean, I'm a feminist, but I'm also a capitalist. And I thought, you know, women are making 77 cents on the dollar. And it was actually less, that stat was less back then. You know what I should do is start a company and just employ all women. Because I can pay them, let's say, 85 cents on the dollar and save a huge amount on staffing. Mm-hmm. And I will make all this money and I will easily outperform all of my competition. And what he found was women make different choices. They prioritize their family more. They don't want they don't want to do dangerous jobs or work as many crazy hours because you know what, they made better choices and they actually care about their families a little bit more than men in general. I don't mean to bash men here. And the point is that what he found was he couldn't operate the company like that. It didn't work.
Huh.
And you know that is something all of these things are things that we know. We obviously know these things are true. We obviously know that men and women are different. Mm-hmm. We obviously know that not one out of every four women gets raped at college. But these stats just get thrown out there, and you're just like, well, I guess if they're saying them, I should believe them. You got to look deeper than that, and I'm glad they're doing that here. We have another clip. This is, again, kind of explains the career paths and those choices, how they make this into a real wage gap.
Georgetown University compiled a list of the five best-paying college majors and the percentage of men and women majoring in those fields. Number one best-paying major, petroleum engineering, 87% male. Mm. Number two, pharmaceutical sciences, 48% male. Three, mathematics and computer science, 67% male. Four, aerospace engineering, 88% male.
Man, do I hate males.
Five,
right now.
Chemical engineering, 72% male.
Wow.
Notice that women outrepresent men in only one of the five top-paying majors, by only a few percentage points.
Pharmacy.
Now consider the same study's list of the five worst-paying college majors.
Okay.
Number one, counseling and psychology, 74% female.
Wow.
Two, early childhood education, 97% female. Three, theology and religious vocations, 66% male.
Uh-huh.
Four, human services and community organization, 81% female. And five, social work, 88% female. Here, it's the women who lead in all but one category. Even within the same profession, men and women make different career choices that impact how much money they make. Take nursing, where male nurses, on the whole, earn 18% more than female nurses. The reason? Male nurses gravitate to the best-paying nursing specialties, they work longer hours, and disproportionately find jobs in cities with the highest compensation.
That's a huge one, too, that nobody talks about.
Nobody talks about that.
You guys are willing to, for whatever reason, they will move away from their families. They will travel to other areas. You know, and like if you're working in a rural area where maybe the pay isn't as high, they'll move to a city and they'll try to make as much money as possible. Guys are motivated generally by money more than women are. So that is reflected in these statistics. I mean, being willing to relocate is huge. We used to talk about this, one of the books we did, I don't know if it was Arguing with Idiots, one of the books that we did, Inconvenient Book, and talking about the difference of whether you would be able to move. What's the difference? Well, we went to one city. I don't remember what the city was. You can look it up in one of the books. But the local, some profession, local job, within 50 miles, there were, you know, 32 choices of jobs. I'm just making these numbers up. But if you look and you expand that to nationwide, there's thousands and thousands of jobs. Even in just regionally, there's thousands and thousands of opportunities. So instead of picking from one of 30 jobs, you're picking from one of thousands of jobs. Well, if you're willing to relocate, you're much more likely to be able to get a high-paying job. Mm-hmm. And those things, when you talk about the differences in the genders, wind up playing out to create these gaps. That does not mean that the person who's earning less is less. Money is not how you judge everything. And, you know, the fact that a woman might choose to be near her mother or who is sick or near her children or, you know, keep her children where they are and not move them out of a school where a guy might be more likely to do that is a choice that I think we can all kind of agree in the abstract is actually a better choice for the woman. But it does not lead to more earning. So, you know, that is a huge thing. And, you know, they do everything they can to hide these things from you because it ruins their stat. It ruins it.
Yeah. We're going to do a serial on the war on women here pretty soon.
Yeah.
One of the stats in that is that in 147 of 150 of the largest cities in America, women make more than men. By 6%. Young women up to 40, I forget the exact stat. But in most city, almost all the largest cities in America, women are making as much or more than men.
Mm.
It's a staggering statistic, and we'll find out the exact thing. I can't remember all the details of it, but that's coming up. Is that next week or the week after?
It's a couple weeks, I think. A
couple weeks away. Mm-hmm. But here's another segment on why there's a gap at all, even the 6.6%.
But why is there any gap at all? No one knows for sure, as both the AAUW and the Labor Department concede. There are so many variables that drive wages that no single study can cover them all. Few wage gap studies control for variables such as dangerous work environment. Mm-hmm. Men are vastly overrepresented, for example, on oil rigs. And here's another variable. Men are more willing and able to work long hours without advance notice. According to Harvard economist Claudia Golden, even if two lawyers have the same education, same specialty, and work the same number of hours, firms pay more to someone who is willing to always be on call and ready to be in the office when the firm needs them, as opposed to wanting a more regular schedule. This isn't sexism. It's just common sense.
I'll tell you, man, I see that one play out in my own world because my wife is a scheduled machine. She'll do whatever she has to do for her job. She'll do whatever she has to do for the kids. But when something changes last minute, man, it flips her out. It flips her out. And she can't deal with my schedule, which is constant change, as you might know, the Glenn Beck program. Hey, you're going to Bangkok next week. Hey, you're not. Now you're never going to Bangkok. You've been banned from Bangkok. I mean, every 2 minutes. I always say the schedule that gets sent out via email in this company is always the least likely series of events that it will occur.
That's why I always ignore it.
Yeah, 100%.
I always ignore it because I know it's going to change.
Never
multiple
happens.
Times.
Never.
Yeah.
It's in fact, it's not. It's like you think like, okay, the most likely if someone sends something out to you, you think, oh, that's probably going to happen, but there could be a change. I always think of it as like, okay, I can schedule something in the middle of that really important meeting because I know that meeting will not occur that day. It's that bad. Mm-hmm. We've had vacations come and go. You got a vacation next week. Now you don't have a vacation next week. And that doesn't even include the basic part of this job, which is inherently unpredictable, which is the news.
Yeah.
I mean, the news at any point can say, hey, you got to come in tomorrow. You got to stay late. You're doing coverage all night. That happens all. I mean, that's also part of this job. Mm-hmm. And we live in that environment. We understand that environment. And it's just part of what we do. Now, there are women on the staff here, obviously, who also live in that environment and deal with it fine. But I think it's more common among women to like the schedule. You know, Lisa wants to get up at a certain time. And she, you know, like she gets up before I even leave for work a lot of times and goes and works out because if she misses a workout in a day, oh my God, throws her totally off. Or me, I can miss a workout every day. and it doesn't throw me off at all.
Oh, of course you don't.
Oh, I mean, look, I'm at the gym most of the day, you know. So I get a lot of my stuff done, you know.
No doubt
about
that.
A lot. Like, oh, yeah. They people call me a gym rat, you know. I don't like the term, but, you know.
But it's applicable.
In a way.
Yeah.
In a way.
In a way.
In a way.
In a way that's nothing like reality?
Not like reality, no, yeah, but it's a no, way. I mean, right. Alex Jones says things that are in a way applicable.
Takes his shirt off all the time, too. Why don't you take your shirt off? Let's see.
I'm not going to skip that.
No?
Because I would like to have some subscribers.
You should take some supplements.
You know, if I took Alex Jones, that would be a fun experiment. They probably kill you, right? If you take an Alex Jones supplement, you probably die the next day.
Probably.
I don't know that. I mean, that's just a guess, and I have no information. I'm not trying to discourage you from purchasing them if you wish to. But that would be a fun experiment. In fact, when I think about experiments, I think about Jeffy.
How's that? How do you?
Why?
I wonder why that happens.
Let me run this by you. You stay over there for a second.
Because he looks like Alex.
He does. If you were to lose a few, we could pop you right in there as our Alex Jones on the show. What if we get you some Alex Jones supplements? Will you take them for a month and see what happens?
Yeah, I don't care.
I mean, there's never been a pill you would not put in your body. Let's put it that way. There's never been a pill you say no to.
I mean, that yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. Right. So maybe we get some Alex Jones supplements, and we see the huge transfer. I love this idea, by the way. We get a huge transformation that happens to you after you take them. What if you look like Tom Brady? It could happen.
Right.
I mean, maybe they just don't work on Alex Jones.
With those supplements, yes. It's possible. There he is.
Look at that. That's basically you. We need to get you all. You need to get a lot closer to the camera, but and also have your shirt off, which we do not want to see.
No, we don't. Not right now.
Under any circumstances.
It would be projectile vomiting nonstop.
Yeah, by everyone in the room.
This is kind of interesting, too, because on this day of the International Day Without a Woman, in Melbourne, Australia, they've just done something revolutionary. Apparently, women haven't been able to cross the street in Melbourne, Australia.
Huge
because
problem.
When the little sign comes up on the crosswalk that you can walk now, it's a little stick figure of a guy. With wearing pants.
How do you know?
Because there's no hair painted on and there's no dress on the girl.
So women can't have short hair or pants?
No, that's right.
Okay.
That's
so
right. But now, but now there's a dress on the little stick figure.
Good.
So, and it only cost them, over $8,000 for 6 lights. And now the women can cross the street because they put a dress on the stick figure.
And women only wear dresses, so we know.
Right.
How asinine is that?
Right. And it's also just as bad, right? Now you're saying, women, you got to wear a dress. Now you know it's a girl. I thought we had this transgendered, enlightened society. What if a man wants to wear a dress?
I mean, this is the hearing impaired at Berkeley.
Yeah.
It's just dumb.
So stupid.
Oh, brother.
Oh, man.
Did you know that the air in your home could be as much as 5 times more polluted than the air outside? That's why we are going to tell you about this phenomenal product. This is fantastic.
Flexpure Breeze. Now, if you have allergies, if you have asthma, if you have COPD, if you have cardiovascular conditions, all of these can be made worse by... You have all of them, Jeffy?
If you have a person like myself that has all of them, it will still work, right?
Yes, it will. In fact, you really need it. Jeffy, you really need it.
What if you have psoriasis?
Well, I don't
combination
know.
Combination skin.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
All I'm saying is it's going to give you healthier air to breathe. So no matter what you have or don't have, why wouldn't you want this?
It's the beautiful Alexa Pure Breeze Purifier, air purifier. 4-stage filtration process. So, you can buy a lesser product that just has one filter in it and doesn't have the advanced true HEPA filter. You're going to be sorely disappointed if you do. But this has the 4-stage filtration and the true pure HEPA filter.
Yes.
And all for $199.95.
And if you're worried about making too much noise, actually has a silent mode on it. It's a quiet fan anyway, but I like the little sound of the fan when we have it on at night. But there's a silent mode as well. It has an auto mode, so you can just keep it on. And it turns on and off as you need it during the day. And it comes with this presentation from Pat of his hand slowly caressing it as if it was a woman. with a dress. Go online right now, getalexapure.com, getalexapure.com, or call 888-895-7746. That's 888-895-7746. And Pat single-handedly goes into the factory and massages each one just like this, caresses the front and back before you get it.
This is simply the hostess on a game show hand gesture.
Yes, that's very nice. You're doing a very nice job.
Thank you.
888-895-7746 or getalexapure.com.
It is the Pat and Stu Show, 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. Yesterday and earlier today, we were talking about Ben Carson's comments about the slaves being immigrants thing. And everybody's up in arms. And honestly, I kind of think rightly so. It's just stupidly delivered, ridiculous to say, and not a good way to put it. However, Barack Obama has done it 11 times that we have found. Well, we didn't find it, but
the Federalists, I think, did.
Federalists did. And in fact, in one of those cases, and we went over some of these on radio, but we didn't get to one where he actually did it almost exact same comparison that Ben Carson did. Nobody cared when it was Obama. Nobody said a word about it.
Yeah. This is 2015. Certainly, it wasn't easy for those of African heritage who had not come here voluntarily and yet their own way were immigrants themselves. There was discrimination and hardship and poverty, but like you, they no doubt found inspiration in all those who had come before them, and they were able to muster faith that here in America, they might be able to build a better life and give their children something more. I mean, that's almost the exact same quote.
Yes, it is.
It is. And it goes on. There's another good one.
People gave us some flack yesterday, the Trump Carson supporters, because if you like Trump, you have to support everything anybody he likes or
everything.
You have to support everything anybody who has ever seen him says. I don't understand this, but Ben Carson was supported and put in place by Donald Trump, now the Trump supporters think they have to love everything Carson says. So
until Trump says he doesn't like him anymore,
then it's completely different. But the deal was,
well, why don't you look up the definition of immigrant? That means you go to a different country permanently.
No, there's more implied than that. I don't care if that's Webster Dictionary definition of it. That's not really what an immigrant is. You've got to be a willing participant in that, right? I mean, immigrating somewhere implies that you're going willingly. Not that you're
certainly
being
in today's,
chained, thrown into the bottom of a slave ship and forced to come here and work for free.
Yeah, technical definition is a person who comes to live permanently in a foreign country. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess technically, I mean, that's, you know,
come on.
You could apply it. But I mean, really, obviously, the way we talk about immigration in the year 2017 is not that. It's not tied to slavery. Look, I can understand, you know, I don't think like it was the worst comment of all time from Ben Carson, nor is it the worst comment of all time from Barack Obama. However, you should probably treat them equally.
Yeah. And yes. And Ben Carson's delivery on just about everything.
What was that? It was just so terrible. And it was supposed to be.
That's how he
talks. My understanding is right. That was supposed to be his hello to HUD, I'm your new boss speech.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm leaving after that speech. That was not inspiring to anyone.
Though you might think, I don't have to do anything in this job because this guy, it's probably That's take him 45
point.
Minutes to walk down the hall to my office. I'm going to be able to just do whatever I want. It feels like he went by an M&M bowl, picked up a big handful, and then didn't realize they were Ambiens before he delivers it. And that's how he is all the time.
Yes.
This was even worse, though. It was really.
I liked the guy. When he was here with his wife, everything was nice.
I have come to the conclusion that I do not want him to be president of the United States. However, look, he's a smart guy, and there's no, I don't have any problem with him per se. It's just a weird comment. And he constantly puts himself in these positions. He says things that are just oddball at times.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit bizarre. And, you know, it might be okay for a talk show host or some guy, but, you know, you don't want him as a president doing that stuff. Though, we do have a president who does that stuff. He just does it with a lot more energy. He's not low energy like Ben Carson.
Yeah, exactly. All right, the microgravity of space, because we're going to be able to travel into space soon with this SpaceX thing. They're going to be taking tourists into space all the time. I mean, it's going to be as common as driving to a 7-Eleven for a Slurpee. That's how common space travel will soon, maybe by next year. That's how common it'll be. So you need to know these kinds of things. Like the microgravity of space can lead to a lot of disgusting situations. If you think carpet spills are hard to clean, try collecting floating vomit.
Oh, God.
Or desiccated skin. That's really icky. Mm-hmm. The calluses on your feet in space will eventually fall off, according to astronaut Scott Kelly. Wow. So the bottoms of your feet become very soft, like newborn baby feet. But the top of my feet develop rough alligator skin because I use the top of my feet to get around here on the space station when using foot rails. Floating calluses with the potential to enter an unaware open mouth is enough to irk most people. Oh, that's gross. Wow.
I don't think I want to go on with this article. Is it possible to stop?
Yes. Because then they go into toilet stuff, which is
I don't want to go.
Not pleasant.
I want to.
This is not a pleasant story. That's what I was afraid of when we promoted this story, that it was going to be too nasty to even talk about.
Yeah, I'm kind of, you know what? Read it. It's at realclearscience.com. and they can give you all the details. We're promoting them heavily here. Realclearscience.com.
I'd love to talk to Scott Kelly about that, though. He's the astronaut that, was a year in space and documented it all. Yeah. Pictures,
isn't
Instagram.
Isn't he the one that's married to Gabby Giffords? Is that him?
That's a different guy.
Different guy.
Yeah.
Okay. How about why planes don't fly any faster than they did in the 1960s? This is another science one that I'm interested in because it does feel like we made this big innovation with the Concorde, right? Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, this is going to change it. And then they grounded it, and we haven't had anything come back since.
Right.
Really, they did talk about restarting it recently, but for some reason that is not financially viable, which it seems like I can understand it not being financially viable across the globe, and every airport's got 20 of these planes. But you think the New York to London route or New York to Paris, a few of these, as we get become more of a globalized society, it's hard to imagine that that's not worth doing. But the airplane experience really hasn't changed a lot since the 1960s. Tickets used to cost 5 times more than today's prices because of, yes, it's true, with inflation and everything. Well, you don't buy a lot of things that are true. I don't
believe it. That's a lie.
You saying you don't buy it does not affect me.
This is a made-up story from the airlines, fake news, trying to convince me that what they're charging me now is so much cheaper than it was before. No.
It is.
Well, they say the turbo engines are most efficient flying at the speeds they flew in the 1960s. So going 400 to 620 miles an hour is the most efficient way. It's fast enough to get you there pretty quickly,
right?
But it's also economical enough to not be cost prohibitive. Military aircraft can go with the turbojet engines more than 1,500 miles per hour in some cases. But that takes a lot of fuel. And so, a jet fighter is carrying one, maybe two people at most, whereas a passenger plane is carrying, maybe 200 people, 200 or 300. The Concorde could reach 1,300 miles an hour.
Wow. But it used 47 pounds of fuel for every mile flown and could seat only 100 passengers.
That's really something.
So I guess that's why.
I guess that was a great ride, though, the Concorde. And when you can get from New York to Paris in 2 hours or something, that's pretty awesome.
Pretty amazing. The new 787 Dreamliner, the Boeing, has a cruise speed of 648 miles per hour, but would only use about a third of the fuel, can seat 291 passengers. The speed wasn't worth it for the airlines. And the Concorde, 2003, I mean, it made it for a long time.
Yeah, it did.
And they had that one crash. Yeah. That one crash,
and then that was it.
For all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they still have them, I guess, in museums and stuff. But it's amazing that there's not even like a private one.
No.
You think maybe there is. I don't know. I guess I don't know every private plane, but I've never heard of a private Concorde before. You'd think some guy in Dubai would be like, yeah, give me 5 of those.
Mm-hmm.
But no, very strange that's never come back because it seems like the type of thing at this point. I guess maybe we just go Hyperloop and just call it a day.
That's what they're ramming down our throats, right?
Did you see the little clip of the desert Hyperloop they built? They built a little test loop.
We might have showed it on the show one day. No,
yeah, I think we did. But they're saying 500 miles an hour they can go in that, which is pretty fast.
Pretty fast.
Pretty fast, but that'd be pretty awesome. 888-727 Beck. More Pat and Stu coming up.
Spoons.
Interesting spoons episode.
Yeah, a couple
something
different
that
things.
Sounds really nasty to me.
Yeah, no.
we'll and something else. Two things.
We have a weird one today.
Yeah.
Really weird one.
We have two. So I'll give you the normal one first, the one you might expect for us to do. This is a new Chex Mix popped. It's a popcorn Chex Mix variety, I guess. And of course...
So it's got popcorn and then the little squares.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And the sticks.
And several different kinds, apparently, of Chex, it looks like. I got nothing but popcorn.
And then are these M&Ms?
Yes.
But not official M&Ms because there's no M on them.
Right. I know M&Ms.
So right. I think when the Chex Mix, you want to try to combine as many of the elements as possible.
Maybe.
I get
used to have an M&M. They're good.
Mm. That's a good combination.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Now,
better with an M&M.
So it's buttered, and then you got the regular Chex stuff in there, so it's salty. Oh. Buttered popcorn. I love these things. These are.
They really went over the top with the butter. The popcorn. Mm-hmm. And also these are cheesy Chexes. These are lighter ones. Mm-hmm. So you got kind of the normal Chex, the cheesy Chex. Again, I would say.
That's good. I'd have that.
Yeah.
I'd buy that.
Yeah. Now I hate pretzels.
Oh, you do?
You do?
I hate them.
Why?
So I eat all of eating around them. But other than that.
Do you like the hard pumpernickel regular in the regular Chex?
Yeah, they're all right.
I like those.
But so that's scale of 1 to 18. I give that a 12. Pretty. I mean, it's pretty good. I would skip all pretzels, but other than that,
I'd do a 14 on these.
Mm.
I like it.
Pretty high, Jeffy.
I like it a lot.
If I was able to, you know, actually try it with the full thing, I don't have any M&Ms in mind, so you know.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in the teens, maybe.
That is not helpful, stupid.
So somewhere between 13 and 18. Okay, this one's more exciting.
Not really.
And this is an interesting one. This
one's frightening.
Okay. Our own Kana, excuse me.
This is the first product. Well, I think there was one other, but one of the few products I've not wanted to even try.
Now, look, these are homemade. Okay. What they are pickled watermelon rinds.
Well, this is what you had before my Patriot Supply.
Yes.
Okay.
Because this is canned, right?
This is canned goods. Yes.
Now we are.
And here's the thing. I don't even like watermelon that much. I mean, it's okay.
Yeah.
But
now what we are told.
Anything in the pickled process, I'm not a fan of that.
I like this because Marissa, our producer, didn't even take responsibility. She says it tastes like sweet apple pie. She won't confirm that. She won't take responsibility for that claim. But apparently, Canis says it does.
All right.
And, so it's enough for me to try.
It smells like sweet apple pie.
Now, it smells like pickles to me, but let's see the taste.
That's because it's pickled. Nasty. Whoa, this one spilled all over. What the
I got to say.
Is it sweet?
I got
it's
the
sour.
Pickled juice all over this.
It's got a pickled taste, but it does kind of taste like apple pie.
A little bit, yeah.
A very, very sweet.
But also kind of tangy, sort of a little kick to it.
Yeah. Can we get Jeffy's face as he does this, please? Because he's weird.
Oh.
Just eat the thing.
I'm not.
When is the last time you didn't put something in your mouth immediately?
Do you seriously want me to answer that question?
Just do it. Come on, we got less than a minute.
Hurry up.
Just take a bite of it, you weirdo.
It's not as bad as you think, though.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not actually as bad as you think.
It actually does taste. I would not predict that. It actually does have a
kind of an apple pie-ish
taste. Apple pie-ish taste.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, it does.
I gotta say.
I'll be darned.
Not bad.
Right?
You know?
I'm not gonna eat the jar full, but.
No, but it's an interesting experiment.
Yeah.
And I would say most people, 95%, are gonna throw away their watermelon rinds when they're done.
Mm-hmm.
But why
this is a way to repurpose them. You really can just eat them.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. All right. What would you give it? 1 to 18? I don't even know how to rate something like that.
The pickled?
Yeah.
About an 8, 9?
Yeah. I mean, I could eat them. Mm-hmm. I mean, not a lot of them. I feel like almost like it would be actually interesting in a pie.
Yeah, it would.
You know?
No.
You wouldn't do that?
No. We found Jeffy's line. Back in a second with with more. I'm going to say, I'm going to finish up these Chex Mix in the break. The problem with Chex Mix is it's so hard to get the right mix of stuff. All the M&Ms are on the very bottom of the bag, you know, and then you wind up getting like a mix of everything else.
You got to stick your hand all the way in there, all through the Chex Mix and everything, just to get one.
Is that
Don't get me wrong. It is what we like to call around here a first world problem. none of us have starved to death over this problem. But here's a nice segment from Glenn's The Vault that I think you're going to love. Right.
Dad, you don't think I don't know who Annie Oakley is.
You're right. I don't think you know who Annie Oakley is. That's her. Do you know who she is?
No.
Really? Yes, you do.
Well, I know that she was one of the greatest shots in the Wild West for a woman.
Yes. I think for anybody, but the guy who knows, Tim here.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Tim. Tim is coming to show us a bunch of really cool stuff, some new stuff in the vault. And I know we're not going to start here. Is this Annie Oakley's gun? Was this used in the show?
This is one that when she and Frank traveled, as they're doing their exhibitions, they would oftentimes allow the crowd to participate. So this was a gun Annie Oakley would use to show how well she could shoot. And then whoever's the best shot in the crowd gets a prize.
Wow.
So this was one that she shot. And on the back here, it does talk about it, that it's a Savage model, a 1903, but it's a show model. And it says, Young Buffalo Annie Oakley. And then on the other side, the Annie Oakley Miniature Rifle Society Prize. So the prize given away.
In February 1904.
Yes.
Wow. Can you imagine the pressure of shooting in front of Annie Oakley?
No.
That would not be fun.
No.
Not be fun.
Even if you're normally not a bad shot.
Yeah.
Once you're around someone like that,
right.
You just feel like, okay, I'm inadequate.
Yeah.
Not many women would make me feel inadequate, but Annie Oakley's probably one.
No. And just about, no, a lot of women can make me feel inadequate. A lot of women.
Well, yeah, shooting-wise, no other ways,
right.
Sure.
Yes.
But, yeah, so Annie Oakley is a fun one we can talk about as we're looking into the vault. Annie Oakley was certainly one of the most famous shooters in the world. What's fun about Annie Oakley, though, is... Ooh.
She looks like your grandpa.
Well, yeah.
Not necessarily a pretty woman.
But you wouldn't tell her that.
No, I would not.
Because she'd let you
run
away
dead,
and still kill
she?
You.
Yes, she's right. Still dead.
She was born in 1860. Her father was born in 1860, or died rather in 1866. So she's only 6 years old when her father dies. When he dies, their family really loses the major breadwinner. And so she tells a story about when she was 8 years old. There was a squirrel that was hopping across the yard, and they were hungry. So she grabs a rifle, and I'm going to go. She never shot before in her
life.
Where
is she from?
At the time, it was at Ohio.
Okay.
Real rural area.
Okay.
Poor area.
I know
very,
across
very
the river
poor.
Is Kentucky, and real Kentucky burgoo is made with squirrel.
Well, they apparently were very delighted to have squirrel.
Yes, people still in Kentucky can be delighted to have squirrel.
So as she is watching the squirrel, she grabs a gun, she walks to the front door, and she aims, never shot before. She said, I threw it up on my shoulder, and I shot, and it went from ear to ear on the squirrel. So perfect headshot.
Wow.
She said, and I don't think I missed again, was her statement. Well, she began hunting so the family could eat. As she's hunting for the family to get food, she does such a good job hunting that they have more meat than they need, so they start taking it to town to sell. So now she's earning income for the family. Well, she does such a good job earning. At the age of 15, she's actually paid off their family farm's mortgage.
No, don't do that.
What are you doing?
I
what are you doing?
School.
Okay, yeah.
So 15-year-olds, yeah.
Yeah, you got 3 years to pay off the family farm.
We don't have a farm.
But the mortgage would still be nice. Home mortgage, yeah, you can pay that off.
You can pay that off.
So 3 years is no big deal. Well, when she was 15, then Frank Butler comes to town. He's an Irish guy, famous sharpshooter at the time. So he comes to town, he's going to put on an exhibition of his shooting. Well, he makes a friendly wager, friendly being relative, it's a $100 wager, which today it's like $20,000. Yeah. So, you know, friendly wager, $20,000. But with the owner of the hotel and says, hey, I can outshoot any of these hillbillies here. Hotel owner says, I'll take your bet, and calls Annie Oakley. Annie Oakley comes. So she, 15-year-old, going up at Frank Butler's about 30 at the time.
And it's funny, I know the name. You knew the name Annie Oakley. You know the name Annie Oakley.
Yes.
Frank who?
Frank Butler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't know Frank's name.
No.
No.
No, well, I mean, there's a famous musical, Annie Get Your Gun.
Yeah.
And so Frank is kind of represented. Mm-hmm. Although in the musical, it shows Frank winning the contest, which he did not do. Mm. Well, so Annie Oakley wins this contest at 15 years old. Frank Butler is so impressed. Now, he's about 30. He says, I need to know this girl. So he starts courting this 15-year-old girl. Today, that's certainly frowned upon.
Yeah, that's jail time.
Certainly frowned upon.
Dad is dead, so maybe that explains a little bit.
Yeah, there was no... Well, and even, you probably didn't make any advances on Annie she didn't want.
Yeah, right.
She outshot you.
Right.
She'll kill you.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But she starts traveling with Frank. They then end up joining Buffalo Bills Wild West, and they travel literally all over the U.S., all over Europe. And this is one of the fun things. These little glass balls, as they're traveling around Europe, and if you guys want to see them, these are what they would throw up, and she would shoot.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
These are what they would throw up. And now her husband was part of the Wild West show. He would travel, and they have a little, essentially a catapult. And they would throw these up in the air anywhere from 20 yards to 50 yards away from her. She would have a rifle, and with the rifle, she would shoot.
Not a shotgun.
Not a shotgun. With a rifle. There are stories that they could take dimes and flip dimes up in the air, and with her 22, she would shoot dimes out of the air.
Do you believe them?
I do. Because one of the exhibitions, we actually have a playing card. We've ordered it. It has not come in yet. But we just picked up, those won't go anywhere. We picked them up at auction, where someone held a playing card sideways, and she shot through it skinny ways, sideways, with a rifle.
How far?
20 yards was one that we've read one account of. 20 yards, she shot through the card sideways. And there's a few people today that still can perform some of those feats, but nonetheless, I mean, it's pretty remarkable.
And the guns are different now than they were then.
Very different.
I mean, these things are not.
No, the guns we have now are made to be precise. Yeah. Back then, you know, these little guns.
No, you're close.
You're an amazing shooter to pull it. Well, her husband, Frank Butler, one time threw up 5,000 of these. She shot 4,772 with her rifle.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Wow.
I couldn't do that with a shotgun. No. She's doing it with a rifle. But these are just fun things, pieces of history. And why we love telling some of these stories and going back to this is because today, an 8-year-old earning for the family, we would never think about that. But that's the reality of part of what we had to grow up with here in America to where now the other generations have created opportunities so that what my dad's done for our family, I'm not having an 8-year-old to go earn for our family. Mm-hmm. But that was part of the American dream as we're making it.
We still teach, or we treat our kids like kids.
We
and
do.
I don't think they're kids.
And we shouldn't.
Yeah.
And this is to that end. So this is
get off your butt and get a job. I was working when I was your age.
Well, and they can do a lot more. Young people can do way more than we think they can.
Oh, yeah.
Because even when we talk about today,
we treat them like kids, and so they act like kids.
We do. And even if someone says, well, I've got very high expectations, your high expectations are a lot lower than what high expectations used to be.
Oh, yeah.
What we think are high expectations, that's not very impressive anymore.
Right.
This is a public school textbook from 1960. It is a physical education book, so every kid going through public school, taking PE, this is a book they gave to every kid, 1960s, 1970s. What I love about this book is there's a section in here on riflery. So every kid going through public school is learning how to use guns. And there's many things. There's archery in here. Ray, if you want to come up so you can see it. Now, as you go through this, what's really fun about this book is it shows here's a target.
Well, shows you how to make a target, well, apparently, in your basement.
Yeah, if you notice there's bricks behind it, that is an indoor target.
Yeah.
That is how to capture a bullet. Now, we're not shooting big rifles. Maybe a 22 short, possibly. But so you can practice at your home, get
better.
Can
you imagine how many parents would go to jail if the neighbors found out they had their kids making a target practice for a 22 in their basement?
Absolutely.
I mean, it would be crazy. People would go crazy. This is a textbook.
When I was a kid, we learned about this, and we actually built targets for our BB guns, and we had a long hallway in our house, and we would practice with our BB guns, and we had to kind of put up little flags so people knew not to walk in the hallway while we're shooting. We didn't want anybody to get hurt.
This does say here, for more elaborate indoor ranges,
Just request write to the National Rifle Association, 1600 Rhode Island Avenue, which I think they still are. Specify gun type you'll be using, 22, pneumatic air rifle, or spring-type air rifle.
And they can give you the right specifications, what you need to build it. But this is PE. This is what every kid learns in school. You learn the parts of the gun. You learn how to score targets. You learn how to hold a gun, the different positions that you use to become a proficient marksman. And so this is, we have a friend in Congress, and he talks about, he'll go to public schools, and he'll say, what would I told you if I said there's a young man who drove to school today, and in his truck, there is a loaded semi-automatic rifle, and there is a loaded shotgun. What would you say? And everybody, of course, is thinking, well, probably he's coming to kill somebody. Uh-huh. And he said, what if I told you I was that student? When I went to school in the 1980s, our football coach took everybody in school who wanted to learn to shoot. He advertised to the whole school, if you want to shoot, bring your guns to school. At the end of school, we'll go out to the football field, big field behind the football field, and we'll teach everybody to shoot. And so this is arguably kids anywhere in the school, he's asking to come shoot. And so this congressman says, I did that when I was in the night school, 1980s, 81, 82. I brought my rifle to school every day. And then he asked the students, I'd love to ask them, and guess how many people died when we did that?
Yeah. Zero.
Because when you're learning, Annie Oakley, if she is hunting for the family from 8 to 15 and she's earning so much, that girl's going to hit whatever she aims at. Mm-hmm. And if she says in her own record, she says, I don't think I ever missed a shot after I hit that squirrel. She knew how guns worked. And the family trusted her with a gun, clearly, because she's hunting for the family, that she knew exactly what to do and what not to do. And this is one of the amazing things as we look at history, as we think we have high expectations and kids can do great things. When you look at what young people did in previous generations, you realize, wow, I never would have thought that I was going to give a loaded gun to a young kid, say, hey, go get us a dinner. Just go find something.
Oh my goodness.
But that's exactly what they did.
Amazing.